Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. Please stand up.
Receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that glows rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. Every time I get a taste, I know I just want more, I just want more. You're the kingdom that can burn inside me, like a lion roar that wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that goes show. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love that goes right in every I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost.
Father, we thank you for your presence and your anointing that breaks yokes, Father. We thank you for your presence. I don't know if you can sense it already, but the atmosphere has changed. So, church, I just encourage you to worship, enter in. Give him all your praise and open your heart unto him. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Your grace more than my words can say. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In all my weaknesses, you are my confidence. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.
Come on, sing it.
I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open over me. To your name, eternally, endless glory, I will pray.
Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.
Father. We know these aren't just words. These aren't just words. Let our lives be poured out. Let our lives be a reflection of you, God. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful, Jesus. We magnify you in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, let's sing that out.
Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what a praise.
Sing, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Just as I am, I come.
I give it all to you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come.
Oh,
hallelujah.
The moment where we enter into his presence with thanksgiving, with praise. Enter in, church. Enter in. I want you to lift up your worship right now. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am.
You don't have to be fake. You can be yourself. Come on. You say, thank you. Come on. We're entering into a higher level. We're going deeper this morning. There's healing in this room. Woo. There's answered prayers in this thank you. Come on.
Thank you.
In advance. We thank you that you want us to come as we are. Father God, we give you praise in this place for the broken chains. Father, I thank you for the healing and deliverance of families in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, and let your praise be heard.
We're going to be thanking him for eternity, for what he has done. We have a glimpse of what he's done. But let me tell you, family, it's a finished work. He has, what he began, he finished, and it's done already. And so we can live and walk in victory. And right now, in this time of the service, we have the opportunity for you to come forward and be prayed for. If there's anything you need in your life, if you want to ask God, you want to bring something before the Lord, if you need healing in your body, if you need help in your marriage, if you need help in your finances, whatever it is, step out at this last song that we sing. Just come forward. Our prayer team are going to be right up here in the front. We'll stand in agreement with you, because there's nothing that he withholds from them who serve him. There's nothing that he withholds. He did it for us, right? He did it for us. And so don't feel hesitant. Don't let prayer be your last resort. Let it be your first response. Amen. For those that are, so in this last song, just step out of your seat, come forward. For those that are watching online, good morning to you. I just, right now, I just stretch my faith out. We stretch our faith out, and we believe God. If you are trusting God for whatever it is, right there, just lift your hand and say, Father, I ask you. So right now, I just release the healing power of God to flow right into those homes, into those bodies, cause a healing to spring forth speedily. Father, I speak deliverance. I speak freedom. I speak unity and restoration in families, Father. Thank you for meeting every need right now in the name of Jesus. And right in this place, there's an atmosphere of faith. If there's anything you want agreement in prayer with, just don't hesitate. Step out here. And we just started getting into a place of worship where we forget about ourselves and we just focus on him. And we're going to sing one more song, and I ask you to do that. I ask you to just shut your eyes unless you're reading the words, but switch everything else off. Forget about those around you. Just focus on the Lord. Let's sing one more song of worship as we enter his presence. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
come consume us, God. In this place, we offer you our lives, God. We offer you our worship, God. Father, we have a cry from our heart this morning that your Holy Spirit fire would rain in this place. Father, rain in this place. Come on, consuming. Church, I encourage you right now, let's lift up our praise in this place. Father, we call on your Holy Spirit. Here and have your way. Father, we will wait on you. We need you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're going to sing all consuming fire in this place, and I want you to declare it in this place that it will burn off all impurities that no longer have purpose. We thank you, Lord, that you would change us from the inside out. Refine us with your Holy Spirit. Come on. I'll give you all, give you all of my worth. Come on, this is how we enter in. Hallelujah.
Rises in this place. The sound of worship rises from my people to the heavens, says the Lord. For as you stand and many hearts have begun to worship me unashamedly, wholeheartedly, or completely, so the roof begins to open, says the Lord. And there becomes an open heaven where your worship comes directly before my throne, and where my fire falls directly upon you. So as you lift your hands before me, says the Lord, lift your heart and say what it is you need to say to me. And as you do, says the Lord, the fire of God is going to fall on you like you haven't felt in a long time, like you haven't sensed in a long time. There's going to come an awakening of the Spirit of God in your spirit man today. If you are hungry for more of God, lift your hands, lift your voice in this place. Say, I'm hungry for more of you, Lord. I glorify your name. We worship you, Lord. There's none like you. You are everything to us. You are all in all. Through eternity, we will worship you. Come on, family, from your heart, lift it up in worship. Lift it up in worship. You're everything, Lord. You're everything, Lord. Sing that again.
Full fire, full fire.
Sing it like you mean it. There's something that takes place in an atmosphere of worship. It's not hype. It's not just drums and loud music. It's something that starts to stir within you. It's something that stirs within you and it brings about a change. I just sense the Spirit of God moving in people's lives here this morning. It's going to start right from your feet and go all the way up through your body. And God's lighting, he's relighting fires that have grown dim in this place. There's those who have got lukewarm and cool, and that fire's being kindled in this place this morning. That fire's being kindled in this place this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you free reign. We give you free reign in our midst and in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to see some changes start to take place in you. You're going to see it's not just about a one-time manifestation, but it is something that's going to be kindled through this week. There's going to be new fires lit to where you're going to have a hunger and a desire like you used to have. It's like he's pointing us back to our first love, a hunger and a desire for the word, for the things of God. Like when you first got saved, the joy that rose in your heart, there's a hunger. As you hunger after him, so he fills you. So he fills you. I want you to expect that this week. I want to expect that you wake up on Monday morning and you have a new bounce in your step. That when you look at things, you see them with the eyes of God, that God's directing you in a way you haven't seen direction for a while, that God's speaking to you, and when you read the word, that it just begins to enlighten your mind and broaden your faith. God's doing something in the hearts of people in this place this morning, and it starts out because of a hunger for more of him. Amen. I love that. I love that. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad you're here today. Won't you, and this worship team just do such a beautiful job. Such a beautiful job. And you know what I love about it is they don't think about it as music, but they think about it as worship. And that makes all the difference, right? So won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good it is to see them, and you may be seated. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. How wonderful to have you with us, worshiping with us today. We're so glad to see you. Barbara, I missed your lovely face. So good to see you. And you are missed when you're not here. So I'm glad to see you. Welcome to those that are watching online. Their viewers from around the world today. We're so glad that you've joined in. I don't know where you're watching from. Let us know on Facebook where you're watching from. But I don't believe it's by accident. I pray that you hear exactly what you need to hear today. It's going to be a phenomenal message, so don't move anywhere. Stay right where you are. Our Ascend Church members, if you're not back in church because of health reasons, we understand. But if it's for any other reason, just come on back because we miss you. And we look forward to seeing you again. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. Do we have anyone that's here for the first time today? We just want to welcome you. God bless you. Come on, family. Welcome. That was a small hand raise. No one wants to be noticed when they're somewhere new. Our ushers are just going to hand you a gift bag where you are. We love having visitors in our church. We ask you just take a moment, and there's a guest card, if you wouldn't mind just filling it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket. Just drop it in, and the pastor loves to just call our visitors and say hi to us afterwards. We'd appreciate it. Wonderful. We're going to pass a register down. Just let us know you're here. It's a pastoral thing. It's an administration thing. It's a caring for the sheep kind of thing. So please, as the register comes by, just let us know you were here. It really helps us. If you don't receive our weekly text, just text the word ASCEND to 313131, and we won't inundate you with texts, but we like to just keep you updated if we have a meeting coming up or what the service is about. It's really nice, too, because it's something that you can share, so you could invite somebody to come along just by forwarding that. So I just want to remind you of the five platforms that you can watch us on. I'm saying it for those that are sitting here. I'm saying it for those that are watching. Sometimes we have an issue where something like Facebook Live goes off, but there are other options at the same time, so you can just go straight ahead. You could go to, we've got Facebook Live. We've got our Ascend Church website, which is ascendchurch.us. We've got our Ascend Church app downloaded. Pastor Steve was just saying to me that there's over 100 sermons, video sermons on there that you can watch at any time. Everything on our app is shareable. There's a Bible reading plan. There's a Bible. There's blogs. There's all kinds of things that could really help you. I think there's even a trivia, Bible trivia. So it's something you could be listening to something and say, I know that's something my daughter needs to hear. And just forward it to them. It's really we've done it for as a resource for you to learn from and also to be able to share. And then on YouTube at Ascend Church Jupiter, YouTube is really easy. Those messages are there. If you just search Ascend Church Jupiter, you can find the messages. And then on Sunday mornings on Fox 29 at 7:30 a.m., this service will be filmed and it will be edited and should be on next week or the week after. So we're reaching out on various different platforms, but I personally like to be in church as much as I can myself. Amen? Amen. It's always good. It's always good. And Nadine, why don't you stand up for a minute? This is what happens when you're a pastor's kid. And Nadine, that's our second daughter, Nadine. And she's been in church since she was 2 weeks old. If I could have gone when she was a week old, I would have. But it's her birthday today. And so we just wish her a happy birthday. She's such a blessing to her dad and I. She's just an incredible, she's a pediatric ICU nurse. She's excellent at her job. She's so good with money. She's independent. She's an excellent mother, and we love her to bits. And so when you're the pastor's kid and your birthday falls on Sunday, we're allowed to say that, right? Happy birthday, baby.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Are you well today? Chester, something's going on here. It's real loud on the monitor. So now, didn't the worship team do a great job today? They did a great, give them a big round of applause. Come on, give them a big round of applause. They did a great job. So good. I encourage you not to miss any of the worship. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. I really encourage you not to miss the worship. I love that the worship in this church is so good that you feel the presence of God as you begin to sing and worship. Something, you know, worship doesn't change God. It changes you. Changes you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Tom Cartwright, there you are. We saw Tom and Anna yesterday. They invited us up to their house. So Jill and I took a ride on the motorcycle up to Sewell's Point. And Tom gave me this note, and I hope you don't mind, Tom, but I want to read this out because it was a blessing to me. So Tom handed me this note, and he said, your message last Sunday I spoke about humble yourself. How many were here last Sunday? Wave at me. How many were not here last Sunday? Would you be bold enough to wave at me? Oh, that's okay. I'm just, no judgment. I'm just saying. He said, your message last Sunday was one of the most profound and penetrating words I've heard in 20 years. It laid my soul bare and brought a renewed sensitivity to the Holy, to the Spirit of God in my life. I haven't felt or experienced such depth in a long time, and I'm truly grateful for you and your ability to hear from God and deliver His word so skillfully. Thank you, Pastor Steve. That meant a lot to me, Tom. We've known Tom and Anna for over 20 years. And I really want to encourage you, if you missed last Sunday, unfortunately we had a glitch with our Facebook live stream. They call it a glitch. Now, we do everything we can to operate with excellence. But sometimes there's things that are beyond our control. So if you missed last Sunday, I want to encourage you to go back and watch last Sunday's sermon on humble yourself. Because I really, really believe it was a word. Now, every Sunday is a word from the Lord. But there was something that I feel every Christian needs to hear that message on humble yourself. So it's available on our app. It's available. It's up. I think it's on back. It's on. We put it on Facebook, and it's on our website. So I really encourage you to go watch last Sunday. Humble yourself if you missed last week. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to thank everyone who invited someone who came to church today. I want to thank everyone who invited someone, even if they didn't come. Thank you for inviting them. Because, you know, your job is to invite them. Whether they come or not, that's not your responsibility. You just invite people. Amen? So thank you for inviting someone to come to church today. And on your seat, when you came in today, I think there's some of these little invitation cards. It says you're invited. We're putting it on the seat, not so that you can flick it off your seat on the floor and we've got to come pick it up later. We're putting it on the seat so you can take it home. And this week, you can invite someone to come to church next Sunday. Will you do it? I said, will you do it? Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, one last thing before we get started. Last Sunday, I asked some of you to move over a little bit. Remember that? Now, I want to show you. Did you get the picture up? I want to show you how it looked, okay? This is the filming from last Sunday. So when we go on TV and we show a crowd shot, it looks like it's full, right? Because it's all where you sit. So that's why I'm saying to you, now the time will come. Say it's coming. The time's coming when it doesn't matter where you sit, because if you don't get here early, you won't get a seat. I said it, the time is coming. Amen. But right now, I would really encourage you, this section right here is what you see on television. So I want to ask you to first make sure all these seats are filled. Then once they're all filled, then move over here. So train yourself. When you come into church, if you sat on the left side, move to the right side. From now on, fill this side and then gradually fill that side. Do you understand why I'm asking it? All right. Praise the Lord. Humble yourself. I said to them last Sunday, please will you humble yourself and move over? And everybody did. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good. We thank you for this day. This is the day you've made. We rejoice, Lord. We are glad in it, Lord. We're so glad to be in your house, Lord. We're so glad to be part of the family of God. We're so glad that you've redeemed us. We're so glad for Jesus. We're so glad, Lord, for your protection over our life. We just give you praise, Lord. And Father, thank you today that as I speak your word, thank you that you help me, you anoint me, you speak through me today, Lord. I give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. When we woke up this morning, we were driving to church. I realized I had a flat tire. My back right tire was totally flat. And on my little computer on my car, it actually tells me zero pressure, zero bars, nothing. But I've got those run flat tires, so you can actually still ride like 50 miles at a low speed. So we went straight to Tire Kingdom, left the car. They only open at 10 on a Sunday. So we left the car, and then Samantha came and picked us up. And we were still in prayer meeting this morning. Even though I had a flat tire, we got to prayer meeting. We were a few minutes late, but we got to prayer meeting. Amen? Let me tell you, no flat tire is going to keep me out of church. I'd hitch a ride if I had to. I'd take an Uber. I'd take a taxi. I'd get here. I'd take a plane, take a boat, but I'd get here on a Sunday. Amen? I tell you right now, for me, this is a highlight of my week. For me, I don't know about you, but if I miss one Sunday, I feel it. I feel the difference. Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? Yes. Say, I'm ready. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I am the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, and I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we would love to have you come and visit our church. I can promise you now we have the friendliest people in the world. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have fun at Ascend Kids Church. We hope to see you soon. Don't we, everybody? Now, today, I want to speak to you about the God kind of faith. And why, you know, it's so important to understand faith. Firstly, the Bible says that you cannot please God without faith. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6, where it says it is impossible to please God without faith. How many of you know impossible means it's not possible? You cannot please God without faith. So faith must be important if I can't please God without it, right? Secondly, you can't receive anything from God without faith. The scripture says in James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says that we should not suppose that we will receive anything from God without faith. That's why faith is so important. Amen. And you might find this surprising, and I say this as humbly as I can, but most Christians do not really understand faith. They really don't understand faith. And it's so important. You can't receive from God without faith. See, and thirdly, the Bible says that we are to live by faith. Romans 1 verse 17, the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews 10 verse 38, my righteous ones will live from my faith. Notice that. They will live from my faith, but if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. So I can't please God without faith. I can't receive anything from God without faith. And I'm supposed to live by faith. I mean, faith must be important. Amen. If we're to live from God's faith, I need to know how to do that. Because what kind of faith are we talking about? We're talking about the God kind of faith. If you go and look up the word faith in the dictionary, it'll tell you, this is what I've found, that faith means a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Faith is a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Now, that's the dictionary definition, but in all honesty, that doesn't really define what the God kind of faith is. You see, there's different kinds of faith. Everybody has natural faith in some way. I mean, every time you get on a plane, you are demonstrating faith. Did you go up and interview the pilot? Did you go find out where he qualified from? Did you go find out if he's been drinking before he got on the plane? No, in faith, you just sat down. Every time you sit on a chair, you're exercising faith. Did you first pick up that chair, check the chairs? Because I've sat on chairs and they broke before. So you're exercising faith. But you see, today I want to speak about the supernatural God kind of faith that pleases God, that receives from God, and that we are supposed to live by. Jesus explained the God kind of faith in Mark chapter 11, in verse number 12. It says, the next day when they came out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. Now in verse 20, it says, now in the morning, this is the next day. The next day, as they passed by, they saw that fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered away. So in Jesus answered and he said to them, have faith in God. And the Young's literal translation says, have the faith of God. And I like that. Jesus is talking about having the God kind of faith. He's telling us how to have the same kind of faith that God has. Because I know a lot of people that have faith in God. They believe God can do anything. But this is saying, have the faith of God. What is the God kind of faith? Jesus is going to give us the definition in the next couple of verses. This is the kind of faith that moves mountains in your life, receives prayer answered, sees supernatural things happen. Jesus said, have the faith of God. The next verse, verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, the God kind of faith is when you believe with your heart and you speak out from your mouth what you believe in your heart. Jesus said, whoever says to the mountain. Thank God he said whoever, because this works for any believer. Amen? In fact, you should write beside that verse, this means me. Whoever shall say, that means me. Now, there's three things I want to point out about the God kind of faith from this passage of Scripture. Number one, the God kind of faith is speaking to the mountain. That's what Jesus said. He said, assuredly, he said, have the faith of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus mentioned the word says three times in that one verse. Three times in one verse, Jesus mentions the word says. He only mentions believing one time. I believe we need to emphasize the saying part much more than we do the believing part, because most people, they often believe, but they fail to speak out what they believe. Instead of speaking to the mountain, they speak about the mountain. They talk about the problem. Jesus demonstrated the God kind of faith when he spoke to that fig tree. And the Bible says he cursed that fig tree. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 demonstrated the God kind of faith. The Bible says in Mark 5:25, now in the crowd that day there was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years, and she had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all that she had on her treatment, she was getting worse instead of getting better. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came to him from behind, and she touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying, notice that, she kept saying to herself, if I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel in her body being instantly healed of the disease. And it says Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and he spoke to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples answered, "Why? What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who had touched him for healing. And the Bible says, when the woman who had experienced this miracle, when she realized what had happened to her, she came before him, trembling with fear, threw herself down at his feet and said, I was the one who touched you. She told him the story of what had just happened. And Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. He said, your faith healed you. She demonstrated the God kind of faith because she spoke out of her mouth what she believed in her heart. If I just touch his garment, I shall be healed. And the moment she touched it, God's healing power flowed into her body and she was instantly healed. And Jesus said, your faith healed you. Are you with me so far? Secondly, the God kind of faith is believing with your heart and not your head. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes where? In his heart, but believes in his heart that the things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, Jesus said someone who operates in this God kind of faith will not, it's someone who doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes in their heart that they receive. Now, most of the time, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about the center, the core of your being, which is your spirit. The real you is a spirit. So in order to understand the God kind of faith and operate in the God kind of faith, you've got to be conscious of the fact that you are a spirit, and you've got to understand what it means to believe with your spirit. You see, to believe with your heart or your spirit means to believe regardless of what your physical senses or what your own mind may be telling you. Because you see, the physical man believes what he sees with his physical eyes, or what he hears with his physical ears, or maybe what his physical feeling and senses are telling him. But the spirit or the heart believes in the Word of God regardless of what it sees with the physical eyes, or regardless of what you hear. To believe with your heart is to believe independently from what your senses are telling you. Now, if you can grab a hold of this, if you cannot allow yourself to be distracted, if you grab a hold of what I'm telling you today, it will change your life forever and ever. In Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "For with the heart one believes." Say, "I believe with my heart." And it says, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So with my heart I believe, with my mouth confession is made unto. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "We live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes." You see, here's the big thing. When it comes to operating in the God kind of faith and seeing supernatural things happen in your life and mountains move out of your path, you got to understand that you have to be willing to believe God from your heart, from your spirit. That means it doesn't matter what I see with my eyes. It doesn't matter what I hear with my ears. It doesn't matter what my feelings tell me. I believe in my heart what God says, and regardless of what my eyes tell me. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Passion Bible says, "Because we do not focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal." Now, the God kind of faith does not believe what it sees with its physical eyes. It believes what God says in His Word. It looks and sees itself with the answer according to the Word of God. I look with my spiritual eyes. Are you with me? That's the kind of faith Abraham had. He believed what God said instead of what his eyes told him, and he refused to listen to doubt. The Scripture says in Romans 4, verse 17, that's what the Scripture means when it says, "I have made you the father of many nations." He is our example and our father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that do not even exist yet. And the King James Bible says he calls things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that do not exist as though they did. It says, "Now Abraham, against all odds," verse 18, "against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count." In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. So they were incapable of conceiving a child. Abraham's almost 100 years old. And it says, if you read the King James Bible, it says, "Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body." So when God says, "I've made you the father of many nations," his body says, "It ain't happening. Have you looked at yourself lately? You're almost 100, plus you and your wife cannot have children." Abraham didn't consider his body. He only looked at and believed what God said. Are you with me? In verse 20, He never stopped believing God's promise. For he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and fully convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. The Living Bible says it like this. Abraham never doubted. He believed God. For his faith and trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing before it ever happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything that he promised. Now, Abraham demonstrated the God kind of faith. He believed in his heart that God would do what he said, despite what he saw with his eyes. Are you still with me? The God kind of faith believes with the heart. That's why faith will work in your heart even while you are having thoughts of doubt in your head. I can have thoughts of doubt come to my mind, but still keep believing God with my heart. If I will ignore those thoughts of doubt and keep on trusting God, those doubts won't have any effect on me. Some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me happened while I was having trouble with doubts coming to my mind. See, the God kind of faith believes with the heart, with the spirit, in spite of what its head, your head may say, in spite of what your senses may tell you, your eyes, your ears, your feeling, your smell, in spite of all that, I choose to believe with my heart what God's word says. The God kind of faith is not moved by things in the that it sees in the natural. When you operate in the God kind of faith, you leave the realm of the senses. You pay no attention to doubt that comes to your mind. Because can I tell you that thoughts of doubt come to us all? We all have thoughts of doubt. The God kind of faith believes what God says. You can believe with your heart, with your spirit, even though you have thoughts of doubt coming to your mind. Thirdly, the God kind of faith speaks to the mountain, number one. Secondly, the God kind of faith believes with the heart, regardless of what it sees. And number three, the God kind of faith believes in its words. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, this is where most people miss it. They don't believe in their words. They don't believe that what they say will come to pass. A lot of people are waiting for it to happen, and then they're going to say it. You got to say it first. You see, the God kind of faith is when you believe that what you say will come to pass. It's the kind of faith that God used to create this world. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, the Bible says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The Passion Bible says, "Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. When he spoke, the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen." Do you know that everything that you can see came out of a realm that you can't see? God spoke it into existence. That's how he created the world. He believed that what he said would happen. Now in Genesis chapter 1, let's go back and see where God created the world. Genesis 1 verse 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." Verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters from the waters." And verse 7 says, "And it was so." Verse 9, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was." Verse 11, "Then God said." Are you getting the pattern of this yet? "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was." God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Then, verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, and according to its kind. And it was so. Now notice, nothing was so until God said it. But when God said it, it was so. And we are to operate in the same kind of faith that God has. It's called the God kind of faith. God spoke everything into existence. All creation came into being because God spoke it into existence. God believed that what he said would happen. That's the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith creates by speaking. It moves mountains by speaking to them. Just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, we have the same kind of faith that God has. Say, I've got the same kind of faith God has. Now, I'm not saying you have as much faith as God has, but you got the same kind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe and then we speak in faith. We got the same spirit of faith as God, family. The God kind of faith is believing in your heart, in your spirit, and confessing what you are believing for, and believing that what you say will be done. A faith person believes in their words. Can I tell you one reason why so many Christians do not have strong faith? Because their word is no good. If you're not a person of your word, if you tell people you'll do something and then you don't do it, you make promises and you don't keep them, then you won't believe in your words. And if you don't believe in your own words, God kind of faith is not going to work in your life. Say amen, somebody. You know, the Bible says about a godly person in Psalm 15, verse 4, about a godly person, it says a godly person is someone who swears to their own hurt and does not change. The contemporary English version says they keep their promises no matter what the cost. You see, a godly person has integrity. If they say they will do something, they do it. Even if something changes and it becomes inconvenient, they will do it because they said they'll do it. Now, if your words have no meaning, if you don't keep your word, if you say things, but you don't, can I tell you how many people told me personally they'd be in church this Sunday? They personally told me, Pastor Steve, I'll see you Sunday. And they're not here. So if your word has no integrity, then you're not going to believe in your words when it comes to operating the God kind of faith. You're not going to believe anything you say happens. Because we know you say things, but you don't do it. That's why you need to be aware of what comes out your mouth. If you say you're going to, when my kids were little, if I said to them, now listen, don't do that again. I'm warning you. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And I would give them several warnings. But if they kept not heeding the warning, then I would spank him because I said I would. It doesn't matter how I felt. I didn't want to spank him. I really didn't want to. But I said, if you do it again, I'm going to spank you. And if they did it and I don't spank them, like you tell your kids, if you do that again, you do that again, and they know you don't mean anything you say. They know you say it, but you're not going to do it anyway. If I told my kids you're going to spanking, they knew, come hell or high water, if I do it again, I will stop the car on the freeway and move over and get them out. I've done it before. Now, someone say, child abuse. I could probably be arrested, locked up. I've got four kids all serving the Lord, all on fire for Jesus. How are your kids doing? How are they doing? All my kids serving the Lord. My son's preaching in Miami today. Right now, VU Church. My son-in-law's preaching in California today. He's in Mexico. He's preaching in Mexico today. Anyway, praise the Lord. If you're going to operate in the God kind of faith, you've got to believe in your own words. Now, someone said, Pastor Steve, I want this kind of faith. I'm praying God will give me this kind of faith. Can I tell you, if you're a believer, you already have this kind of faith. Can I tell you, you already have the God kind of faith? The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3, God hath dealt to every man or every person the measure of faith. This is written to believers. Every believer has been given the measure of the God kind of faith. Because you couldn't be saved without this kind of faith. You couldn't be a Christian. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself. The Living Bible says it like this. Because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of yourselves. It too is a gift from God. In other words, the faith that it takes to be saved, not only is salvation a gift, the faith to be saved is a gift as well. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not only is salvation a gift from God, the faith to be saved is also a gift from God. The measure of the God kind of faith has been given to every believer. But here's the thing. It's up to us. We've got to use that faith. We've got to grow that faith. We've got to develop our faith. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, he says, your faith is growing marvelously. Do you know your faith can grow? Do you know that when you come to church every Sunday, your faith grows? How does our faith grow? How does your faith grow? We've all been given the God kind of faith. If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been given the measure of the God kind of faith. But you see, have you been using it? You got to use it. You got to grow it. The scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear God's word like today, your faith is growing. Hearing me speak the word of God causes your faith to grow. Faith grows by feeding it on the word of God. That's why every Sunday when you come to church, your faith grows. And every Sunday you don't come to church, your faith diminishes. Your faith is either growing or diminishing every day. It never stays the same. It's either growing or it's either going down. That's why you've got to be in church every Sunday. And all those in church said amen. And then thank God you don't even have to wait for Sunday. Like you heard earlier, you can go watch. We've got over 100 of my sermons on our mobile app. You can go and watch a sermon every day for the next 3 months and watch a different sermon every day. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Your faith grows by hearing God's word and by exercising your faith, by using your faith to believe God. See, your faith is like a muscle. When you feed your muscle and you exercise your muscle will grow. Do you know that we've all got the exact same amount of muscles? We all have the same muscles in our body. But some people have developed their muscle. They've fed their muscle. They've exercised it. Do you know your faith is like a muscle? That when you feed your faith on the word of God and you begin to exercise it, your faith will grow. Your faith will get stronger. Are you with me? You use your faith by speaking. Your words are powerful. Your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. I tell you, God cannot do more for you than what your words allow him to. Your words allow God to work in your life, or otherwise they allow the devil to work in your life. If you've been defeated, let me tell you, you've been defeated by your own lips, by your own words. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says you're trapped by the words of your own mouth. Very few people realize how their words dominate and control their life. They didn't realize that they will have what they say when they believe what they're saying. Your words can either trap you or your words can deliver you. Proverbs 12 verse 6, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Your mouth can either deliver you or trap you. I'd rather be delivered myself. Your words are powerful. They produce results in your life. Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. My lips, my words produce things in my life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You ever heard the saying, you're going to eat your words? Do you know that's literally true? You are actually eating the words of your mouth. The Passion Bible says your words are so powerful, they will either kill or give life. The Message Bible says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Isaiah 57:19 says, I create the fruit of the lips. God says, I create the fruit of your lips. What you say, that's what allows God to move in your life. Job 22, verse 23, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. The Bible has so many warnings about guarding our words. Proverbs 13, verse 3, guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it'll ruin everything. Proverbs 21, verse 23, watch your words and be careful what you say, or you'll be surprised, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you'll have. Do you know a lot of time the trouble we have, we brought it on ourselves by the things we said out of our mouth. David said in Psalm 141, God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. And the Living Bible says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut. That's a prayer a lot of us could pray. I tell you right now, that's a prayer a lot of you could pray before you leave today. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. There's a good prayer right there. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. Faith works by believing in your heart and speaking it out your mouth. Romans 10:10, with the heart one believes and with the mouth confession is made unto. That's how we receive salvation. Do you know that? Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how we got saved. Do you know everything we receive from God comes the same way? By faith, by believing in your heart, and by speaking it out your mouth. Everything you receive from God, everything is going to come the same way. Favor, guidance, healing, protection, provision, victory, answers to prayer, restoration, you name it. Everything from God, you're going to come through faith. Now, it won't happen just because you say it, but whatever whatever you say is contingent on doing what the previous verse says. You've got to believe in your heart. You've got to believe in your words. But faith comes by hearing. And you know what I found? If you say something long enough, you will end up believing it. If you keep saying it, you'll end up believing it, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And once you start believing what you're saying, then it's going to work for you. It's going to dominate your life. If you talk failure, failure will hold you in bondage. You imprisoned by your own words. If you talk doubt and unbelief will dominate you. Your words will dominate you. If you say that you cannot, I could never do that, Pastor Steve. I could never afford that. The moment you said it, you defeated. Never talk failure. Never talk defeat. Never talk lack. Never talk sickness. Never talk fear. Never talk doubt. Never talk negatively. Never say anything you don't want to happen in your life. I refuse to talk failure. I refuse to talk defeat. I don't care if failure is walking naked in front of me. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. I don't talk sickness. I've heard people say, my mother got cancer. My grandma got cancer. I bet I'm going to get cancer too. That'll never come out of my mouth. If sickness tries to come on me, I speak to it, not about it. I confess 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes I was healed. I declare I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of God. When I face financial challenges, I don't talk lack. I speak abundance. I declare Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Never talk failure. Never talk defeat. Never for one moment acknowledge that God's power and ability can't put you over in your life. See, when I talk defeat, I'm saying to God that he cannot get the job done. But he can get the job done. There is nothing that is too hard for our God. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. We must become more God inside minded. We need to know that God is on the inside of us. And he said, you will have what you say. So don't talk failure or defeat. If you talk about your difficulties and your lack of money, your faith will shrivel. Nobody ever rises above the level of their own confession. If you confess sickness, it develops sickness within your system. If you to confess doubt, your doubts become stronger. If you confess your lack of finances, it stops the money from coming in. Never talk failure or defeat. What should you be saying? Talk about how great your Heavenly Father is, how great your God is. Say what God says in his word. Confess the promises of God. Say the things that you desire to happen. Let me tell you, God created the universe with his words. You need to learn how to use words that will work for you. Because your lips can either make you a victor or your lips can hold you a captive. Your lips can make you a millionaire or your lips can keep you a pauper. Your lips can make you wanted or despised. Your words can be filled with faith that will stir heaven and make people want to be around you. You will never rise above the level of your words. Faith's confessions is what creates the reality. You see, confession precedes possession. You've got to say it before you're going to possess it. Now, Jill and I, we graduated from Rhema Bible College back in 1982 in South Africa, which was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin was well known for his teaching on faith. I mean, I'm so thankful. I learned so much about faith from Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin, if you've never heard his testimony, let me just tell you his testimony. He was born with a deformed heart and incurable blood disease. He almost died at birth. And doctors said he would not live past his 16th birthday. Five doctors said that. By the time he was 15 years old, he was partially paralyzed from the waist down, and he was lying in a bed, and he started reading his grandmother's Bible. His mother had to prop the Bible up on the bed so that he could read it because he was so weak he couldn't hold the Bible himself. And he read through Mark. He read the Bible, and he came across Mark 11, verse 24, and he read it hundreds of times. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He read that scripture over and over and over. And one night, when he was at the point of death, he quoted that scripture all night long. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, you said whatsoever things I desire. I desire to have a well body. You said when I prayed, I was to believe. Well, I've prayed. And Lord, I believe. He said, Lord Jesus, if you stood here in front of me tonight, right beside me, and I could see you with my physical eyes, and you told me, son, your problem is you just don't believe, I would have to say, you dear Lord Jesus, you're lying about it because I do believe. He didn't say that to the Lord in an arrogant way, but with sincerity. He really thought he was believing. But then he heard down in his heart, in his spirit, these words, you do believe all right, as far as you know. Then inside his spirit, he heard the Holy Spirit quote the rest of that verse. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He'd been quoting just the first part of the verse. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe. But he saw that he had to believe that he had already received what he was asking for, that he had already received his healing. See, he wanted to get the healing first and then believe it. But if he really believed that he received, then he must say that he believed he received, and then he would have whatever he said. He saw that he needed to begin to confess it, and then he would possess it. So lying in that bed, paralyzed from the waist down, he said, I believe I receive healing for my deformed heart, for my blood disease, and for my paralysis. He lifted his hands. He said, Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I believe that I am healed. I believe that I receive my healing right now. And he started praising God for about 10 minutes. He started just giving God praise. And then he heard these words in his heart. Now you believe that you are healed. But healed people are not lying in bed at 11 o'clock in the morning. They need to be up. So Kenneth Hagin said, that's right. Praise God. I'm going to get up out of this bed. He didn't feel better. He didn't look better. He didn't have any feeling from his waist down. He was partially paralyzed. He pushed himself up to a seated position in the bed. And then with his hands, he took his feet and he pushed them off the bed. And they hit the floor like two chunks of wood. And he twisted his body around. And the devil was fighting him every step of the way. He had thoughts of doubt shooting to his mind. He had thoughts come into his mind like, now you know you can't walk. You're not healed. You know you're not healed. You're lying about it. You'll fall right here on the floor and you'll have to lie there. Don't you know it's only been 30 days since you last fell out of the bed and you had to lie there for 45 minutes until your oldest brother came in and picked you up and put you back into the bed? Your grandma is old and your mother is not well and they can't lift you up. You'll have to lie down there till 5 p.m. when your grandpa comes home from work. All these thoughts are shooting through his mind as like machine gun bullets. Let me tell you, the devil will fight your faith. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. There's a fight to faith. You see, you have to ignore the devil and you have to ignore those thoughts of doubt that he brings to his mind. That's just what Jesus did. In Mark chapter 5, when that woman with the blood issue was healed because of her faith, Jesus was actually on his way to pray for Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, and she was critically ill. She was at the point of death. And then he got delayed on his way to Jairus' house by the woman that came in the crowd with the issue of blood. Some messengers came by from Jairus' house, and they came to tell him, listen, your daughter has died. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. It's too late. What did Jesus do when he heard the news about Jairus' daughter having died? In Mark 5, verse 36, it says, overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be struck with fear. Just keep on believing. Don't be afraid. Just keep on believing. See, that's what Kenneth Hagin did. When those thoughts came to his mind, you try and get up, you're going to fall on the floor, you're going to have to lay there till 5 o'clock. You know what he did? He ignored them. He ignored those thoughts of doubt. He grabbed hold of the bedpost. His legs wouldn't function. So he sagged at the knees, holding onto the bedpost like this. He's partially paralyzed from the waist down. So he's holding on the bedpost, arms around the post. He lifted one hand a little bit and said, God, Lord, I want to thank you. I believe I'm healed. I want to declare in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ and all the angels of heaven, in the presence of the devil and demon spirits, that the word of God is true. And I believe I receive my healing. I believe that I am healed. And he said, man, the room started spinning because he'd been lying flat in bed for 16 months. He just shut his eyes and he held on the bedpost and the room is spinning around. After a few minutes, he opened his eyes. Everything stopped spinning. He said, thank God, according to his word, I'm healed. I believe I've received my healing. And suddenly, something happened. Suddenly, he felt like oil being poured over his head, running down all through his body, going down through his legs. When it got to his waist, it felt like every nerve in his body, in his legs, were being reactivated. It felt like a million pins and needles were sticking into his legs. He said, I'm going to walk now. And he did. He got out of the bed. He started walking. He was totally healed. Every symptom disappeared. He was completely, supernaturally healed. He went on to preach the gospel for 67 years. And he went home in 2003 to be with the Lord at 86 years of age when the doctors told him, you'll never live past 16. But because of faith in God, the God kind of faith, he was supernaturally healed as he believed the word of God. Amen. Here's my question. Are you ready to exercise the God kind of faith? Will you speak to the mountains in your life? Will you say what you are believing for? Will you agree with God and say what God says? I'm not talking about just saying a bunch of nonsense like, well, I'm going to be a billionaire by tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking in line with what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what do you say? I thank you, Lord, you supply all my needs. Not half my needs, all my needs. And let me tell you, whatever your needs may be, whether they're spiritual, physical, material, financial, God is concerned about every one of them. We don't tell God how to meet our needs. Let me tell you, God may give you a better job. He may give you a promotion, an increase. He may send someone to bless you. Don't tell God how to do it. Just believe him to do it. Amen. He's able. And he will meet all your needs. He has the answer. Let me tell you, you just got to believe him. It's not enough to just believe God can. You must believe that God will. You must believe that you receive. And speak out your faith. If you want to change the situations in your life, speak to them in the name of Jesus. It may not change immediately. When Jesus spoke to that tree, it looked like it was the same. It didn't look like anything changed. It was only the next day they saw the effect of his words. The tree had withered from the roots. Do you know what? It may not seem like your words are having an effect. But the Bible compares your tongue to the rudder of a ship. It says in James chapter 3, we all fail in many areas, especially with our words. Yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. It says, and even so, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how small a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. Look at the ships, although they're so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. The tongue, that's what the Bible says. Our tongue is like a rudder. Just like a rudder will guide that ship through the fiercest storm, that little rudder will guide that ship. It takes time to turn a big ship. That's what your tongue is like. When you begin to speak out, speak in faith, and say what God says, it may not seem like anything's changing. But let me tell you, little by little, your life will start going in the direction of your words. Your life will start turning in the direction of your words. Your words direct your life. Your words control your life. Just like a ship's rudder steers the ship, a big ship can take time to turn around, especially if the wind is strong, but the rudder will make it turn around. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith, because the one who made the promise is faithful. You've got to hold firmly to your confession and declaration of faith. It may not seem like your words are changing anything in your life. You may have strong winds blowing against you, but you've got to hold fast to your confession of faith. Do not waver, because you will have what you say. If you believe what you're saying, if you believe it in your heart, if you hold fast to that confession, you will have it. That's what Jill and I, this is how we live. We use the God kind of faith to move mountains. For this, with this building, from the first time we got the call from Joe Siegel offering to sell us this building, we believe, we spoke our faith for every financial need. Let me tell you, we've seen supernatural supply. We raised over $500,000 to do all the renovation in this building, and it was through the God kind of faith. We'd pray, we'd believe, we'd receive, and then we'd begin speaking, confessing the word of God, and call that money in, and the money would come in supernaturally. Instead of saying, oh, how are we going to ever get the money to renovate the building? How are we ever going to afford that? Oh, how are we ever going to afford that? We said, Lord, thank you that you're our provider. Thank you, my God shall supply all of his needs, our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. The last time I went back and checked, the last time I preached this sermon, a few years back, we needed money to pay our June and July mortgage payment and the HOA. It was about $30,000 we were believing for. We were behind. We needed $32,000 by the Wednesday. This is Sunday. You know what Jill and I did? We went back. We began to build up our faith. We listened to Kenneth Hagin on teaching on faith. I would encourage you, go on YouTube and watch Kenneth Hagin's sermons, man. He'll build your faith up. We listened to Kenneth Hagin. We began speaking to the mountain. We called the money in. And can I tell you what? By the time Wednesday came, we had that money. It came in. Now, some people don't like me to talk about money. Pastor Steve, you should never, ever talk about money in church. I understand. We don't want to turn any new guests off, you know, all they want is your money. But it's amazing how people get so excited about the new building. They're so excited about it. They want to be in the building. They just want someone else to give towards it. I thank God for the generous givers at Ascend Church. I confess that we are a generous giving church. I declare that all of our members are faithful to tithe and faithful to give in the name of Jesus. We got a generous church, man. People can't wait to get to church. In fact, they send their tithes before they get here because they can't wait to give. That's my declaration. Are you ready to use the God kind of faith to move mountains in your life? To see prayers answered, to see miracles happen. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, anything is possible for someone who has faith. Let me tell you, what kind of faith was he talking about? He's talking about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is a miracle working force. It's this kind of faith God used to create the universe. We can operate in the same kind of faith. This faith can change the world that you live in. Say, thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Say, thank you, Lord, that I have the God kind of faith. Thank you, Lord. My faith is growing as I hear your word and as I use my faith. I believe your word is true. I will speak my faith. I will say what your word says. I will not speak doubt. I will act like your word is true. I will speak to the mountains in my life. I will not speak about the mountain. I will speak to the mountain, and I will hold fast my confession of faith. I will not quit. I'll fight the fight of faith. Say, all things are possible to me, because I have the God kind of faith. In Jesus' name, come on, give God thanks. Give God praise, somebody. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, man, but I like this. This preached me happy today. Build my faith up today. How about you? Bow your head for a moment. Would you do that? Get ready, Pastor Jill. I want to pray for you. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank you, Lord, as your word has gone forth. I thank you it's gone into every heart today. I thank you will produce fruit in every person's life today. I thank you, Lord, that we're not just hearers of your word. We're doers of your word today. I thank you for your blessing on each and every one. Thank you, Lord, that faith has risen in every heart in Jesus' name. While your head is bowed and while your eye is closed, we never close a service at Ascend Church without giving people the opportunity to just make sure that all is right, that all is well but with you and God in your life, to make sure that all is right between you and the Lord. And I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm just not certain. Listen, I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, are you certain if you died today that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just quickly, just slip your hand up. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, I see it. You're included. Just slip it up right now. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me. I'm looking for hands right now. All righty. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I'm saved. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not going to heaven all by myself. I'm taking as many people as I can. Come on, tell them, you're looking at a mighty soul winner. That's me. I'm a mighty soul winner.
Mighty soul winner. Amen. Good message, right?
Praise the Lord.
Man, when I know, you know what I love about faith is that it works in every area. And, you know, there's different times. You know, we've got people that are sitting here and you've had a bad report from the doctor. Then you can use your faith in that area. You may have a kid that's just doing all the wrong things. You can use your faith in that area. You may have a marriage that's on the rocks. You can use your faith in that area. We've done all of the above. But you can use your faith when it comes to finances, and you should. God can do way more for you if you use your faith, right? And so I want to just encourage you, where this is offering time. There's envelopes in the seats where you are. Those that are watching online, thank you for those that have already given. As Pastor Steve said, we've got such a generous church. We have so many people that just give all through the week online. They can't wait for Sunday morning. You can go to ascendchurch.us. It's easy to give. There's various ways to give, family. It comes up on the screen here. I love the online giving. Set it up one time. It's so easy. But what I want to say to you, don't just plunk your giving in the offering. We appreciate it, whether it comes with faith or without faith. We appreciate your giving. But for your sake, use your faith when you give, right? I want to read to you from Malachi 3, just a couple of verses. God said, bring all, because we base our faith on what the word says, right? So what God says, we believe it and we speak it. So he says, bring all the tithes, that's the tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. God could have said, do this and not offer you any promises. But he says, go ahead and do it and test me and see if I will not do just this. And he describes it. He says, then I will rebuke the devourer, insects, plagues for your sake, because they were farmers. And he will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field drop its grape before harvest, says the Lord. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you will be a land of delight. So God's word always contains an instruction and a promise. And if we will put our faith to that as we give, then we will see that come to pass in our life. You know, you might say, well, God's word says I'm healed, but I'm sick. It's because you're not exercising faith. So it's not automatic that that falls on you. You receive it by faith, right? So how do we do it? Take your offering in your hand, and we're going to say this right now. Say, Father, as I bring my tithes and offerings to you today, I thank you that your word is true. I declare that the windows of heaven are open over my life. I declare I am flooded with blessing after blessing till I don't have enough room to receive it all. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer off of my finances in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's how you exercise your faith. Do it every time that you give. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead. Ushers, you can get ready. Father, I thank you for every giver in this place right now. You know what every person's facing. I thank you for doors of opportunity that open. I thank you for the windows of heaven just pouring out blessing. I thank you that they, like Pastor Steve said, we don't tell you how to do it, but we thank you because we know you meet every need in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your faithful giving. I just want to mention that we had a wonderful time here on Thursday night. Yeah. We've started with Abel. He felt the Lord leading him. We've started a night of prayer and worship. It's on Thursday, every second Thursday, every other Thursday from 7 o'clock. And we met for the first time this week on Thursday night. And there was such a strong presence of the Lord. And I just want to really encourage you. We're not meeting this Thursday because it's every other Thursday. But next Thursday, so not this one coming, but the next one, we'll be having our next night of prayer and worship. And I really encourage you to come and be a part of this, to come and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really what it's about, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Say every other Thursday at 7 o'clock, prayer and worship.
One thing I want to mention, we're doing a ladies' Bible study. I'm doing a ladies' Zoom Bible study Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. You can join in at any week. I'm going to send out a text this week. Just set aside an hour and we're studying the book of Ephesians, and I'd love you to join us.
Amen. Ben, you should be on the stage right now. We're closing the suit. You should be on the stage right now. Let's stand up together, everybody. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad I was here today. Let's give God praise as we go home. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Evidence shows.